everybody. Welcome back to Moscow and welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shea Bowes. I'm still here. And so is my intrepid advisor, a numerologist, astrologist, and basic pain in the ass, Augie, who's going to correct me when I make lots of mistakes and get the numbers wrong. And where will we start today? Well, I think we'll stay in Taiwan. You might remember last week we were there as they bet the crap out of each other, tried to tear up the laws as they were passed, and then tried to escape from the parliament when they saw the Chinese boys surrounding the island. It seems that they're unhappy that a party in the parliament want to put a little magnifying glass on the billions and billions of dollars that are being spent with defense contractors. You'd imagine the government want to do that, right? But it ain't the government that wants to do it. It's the opposition. And it's already getting called a Beijing law. It's being called a pro-Chinese move, much like the Georgians called the law to declare who's funding your government, the Moscow law. Well, the Americans said that in the EU. Even though the Americans had the same law called the FANA, Foreign Agents Registration Act, back in 1938. Run the video, Augie.
方院会全案经过二读，现在请三党团干部
And of course, you might say to yourself, and you might remind yourselves that last week we were saying that everywhere Uncle Sam sticks his long bony finger, everything seems to go to shit. And in this case, it's no different. Just by complete coincidence, very soon before the boys started flicking their airplanes around, enraged at the fact that somebody might want to know more about what's been spent in Taiwan on weapons, a certain American congressman turned up. He just rocked up into town, Mr. McCall. And he had some interesting things to say about Taiwan. Basically, this time round, in this proxy war, we're not going to dump all the old crap, 60-year-old tanks, shit heaps, junk piles, basically human metal coffins for you guys to die in like the Ukrainians did. We're going to give you the new stuff, the best stuff, some of our best tech. Run it, Augie. This is unreal.
Taiwan, unlike Ukraine, will be getting new weapon systems, not old ones, especially old Russian weapons. It will be a new stock that will be supplied to Taiwan.
When we put you in the 60-year-old M113 armored vehicles, you'd think that somebody might have warned them about dumping all this old crap into Ukraine. Maybe somebody did. You never know.
Projecting strength always prevails and it stops war. And, you know, not some micromanaged situations that often, sometimes in Ukraine, I think we've micromanaged it to the point, especially right now, they're on the border of Ukraine and Russia and we can't even hit, Ukrainians can't even fire back. And I think we'll get that one.
So this would make you think, if Ukraine's getting piles of old crap that's been sitting in scrapyards, basically in storage in the States for the last 50 years, what happened to the couple of $100 million? Well, we know that a big chunk of it went into Zelensky and his pals' pockets. That's kind of not surprising. When it comes to spending money on the army, it seems even in the US, everybody's free to take the piss. Everyone's free to dip the old pocket of Uncle Sam. And this is really nuts. Well, it's actually bolts. Run it, Augie.
This, Mr. Secretary, is a bag of bushings. This bag of bushings, stamped out by machinists, don't need a high school diploma. It's not anything high tech about this. All of this bag is compliant with the FAA specifications. How much do you think the Air Force pays for this bag of bushings?
What would you guys say?
I don't know, Congressman.
$90,000.
$90,000. And they're wondering where the money's gone. Imagine what's happening in Ukraine. My Jesus, I'd say the thing is being raped.
This is a $90,000 bag of bushings that you need for any jet turbine engine.
So the U.S. government paid $90,000 for a bag of bolts, bushings, little metal things that you could basically buy in any hardware store. You know how much it's worth? $100. Cha-ching, cha-ching. So you have to ask yourselves, why doesn't the Pentagon do something about this? Why doesn't the government do something about this? Your tax dollars. Well, they already know that they're getting raped, but they seem to like it. They enjoy a bit of slap and tickle. They know that even next year and last year, a huge segment, a huge proportion of their money is going to go missing. Not just in Ukraine, not just around the world in the 800 military bases that the US occupies, but right slap bang at home. And also, some of the big contracting companies who we like to have a look at here on the Moscow Mules, they're also making a shit ton of money. One company actually paid its lawyers 11 million bucks. Must have been a good year. So you'd imagine if the Pentagon is paying 100 grand for a bolt's worth, basically 100 bucks, that the machines that are getting created from this massive overspend are of the highest quality. They're basically immune to collapse and catastrophe. Well, not quite. The F-35, the futuristic and cursed project of the US defense machine, seems to be dropping out of the sky a lot. Six of them have hit the dirt, literally, and gone up in flames. This one we're about to have a look at actually cost $200 million. Run the video, Augie. So this is what $200 million bucks look like when you put a match to it. It's absolutely insane. Check this out. I mean, given the amount of money these boys are spending, who knows what this stuff costs? And of course, it's hardly surprising that none of this shit show is getting fixed at the Pentagon, State Department, and everywhere else. You got a guy in charge, well, ish, at the wheel, asleep at the wheel, literally. Old Sleepy Joe, our old pal here on the Moscow Mules, decided it was an absolutely opportune time to take a snooze while commemorating America's war dead. He kind of reminds me of Schultz's wife and Brigitte Macron, who decided to have a good old giggle at the Holocaust Memorial. The perfect place for a picnic. Run the video, Augie. Good. He's gone.
Rise and shine, sleep.
He's f***ing gone. I mean, this is like, what? How does no one else see this? Do we all see this? It's just fucking unbelievable. I mean, this is just the best. He just doesn't give a shit. Well, the situation in US politics, as we said last week, is really, really hitting a rock bottom right now. Imagine being so stupid, useless, dumb, and asleep at the wheel that somebody like Kamala Harris could actually be more popular than you. Run it, Augie. Look at the people. I mean, this is insane. Oh, here she is, my favorite. This is worse than a nuclear war. I think this woman would do more damage to the global environment if she actually took over. she is literally fucking insane. You know this friend of yours who laughs at their own jokes after like a couple of beers, and then you start to worry about them. Look at it. This is like a horror movie. Even Sleepy Joe, I would take Sleepy Joe over that absolute fucking fruitcake. So while Sleepy Joe is literally asleep at the wheel, and his second in command is probably trying to push him down the stairs, I seen her loosening one of the carpets at the top of the steps in the White House lawn, hoping, give him the old you-know-what. Some other senior, literally senior US politicians are just plain fucking deluded. Or they're lying. Run the video, Augie.
We show that San Francisco is in the forefront, that San Francisco is a model for the nation.
We're going to show you just how. Mm-hmm. This is the forefront and a model for the nation. Check it. Mm-hmm. Yep, this is the forefront. Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks good. Russian disinformation, Augie. These are all Russians who were sent to the U.S. to lie in the street, sit in the street. They were all sent there. Each one of these is a Kremlin operative. Each one of those tents is a Kremlin talking point, and each bucket that they're keeping in has been donated by the Communist Party of Belarus, who sponsor this message. So Nancy Pelosi is a liar. Well, give us something we didn't know. She's a politician, after all. But what does the press really say in the States about San Francisco, Augie?
Let's see who has the coolest headline. Uh-huh. I'll start. San Francisco residents unleash on Blue City's failure to curb brutal sex trafficking.
Nice. Street. Check this one. Death, drugs, abandoned businesses, all on display along San Francisco's doom loop tour route.
I have a good one. Violent robberies in San Francisco Noel Valley appear to target women with smartphones.
I think I've got the best one. Are you ready? We have a thing about poop on the show, but this is, anyway. The brownout spreads. San Francisco's public poop problem is record level.
America first.
America first, yeah. Well, it's all gone down the shitter, I told you, I warned you. So what are you going to do about San Francisco? Well, I got an idea. Appoint a new tourism chief, spend a couple hundred million bucks, and make some big statements about, I'm going to cure the city, I'm going to sort out Phil, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to sort this out. 7 months later, adios. He probably ended up down in the doom loop himself, smoking a bit of crack. So we're leaving the show that is San Francisco, and we're jetting, not in an F-35, because we actually want to arrive alive, to Israel. And who are we going to meet there? The incredibly intelligent, diligent, exceptionally thoughtful philosopher and just general genius, Nikki Haley. She has joined the ranks of politicians from the States who want to be completely freaked out about Hamas and Israel. But they don't want to talk about the fact that the Israelis have actually killed tens of thousands of innocent civilians. And they've done it with American weapons. Shh, keep it to yourselves. Run the video, Augie.
You know, and I'll just say that this is why the United Nations is not taken seriously, is because they always are out of touch with reality.
So let's not mention the fact, Nikki, that you were actually the U.S. ambassador to the UN for 2 years. So Nikki Haley is freaking out about a moment of silence for the president of Iran and his foreign minister and the totally innocent crew pilots that were killed in the helicopter crash.
Reality is the fact that that plane crash couldn't have happened to a worse person.
Yeah. And newsflash, Nikki, it wasn't a f***ing plane either. It was a helicopter. Woo-hoo-hoo. You f***ing toot.
And the last thing they should have done was even given a moment of silence. The first thing I would have done was walk out and not even acknowledge any of that. That didn't happen.
She would walk out of the UN in a show of what exactly? U.S. foreign policy? So when Nikki Haley was doing her long-distance diplomacy in Israel, while signing artillery shells that are about to be used to blow children to pieces, I always find that when you're going to sign your name on a tool of genocide and mass murder, it's useful to use a false name. So what did Nimrata, or Nikki, depending on what day of the week it is, write on the shell? Finish them. Are you guys sure you're the good guys? Well, Nimrata was very upset at a minute's silence for the president of a UN member country, and she was going to walk out. So there is a bit of good news for Nimrata, or Nikki. The pier that was supposed to bring humanitarian aid to the starving and bombed and genocided children of Gaza got destroyed in a storm. Nikki Nimrata would be absolutely delighted with that. We've talked about U.S. infrastructure. This particular piece of U.S. infrastructure cost $300 million to make. It was supposed to operate for 3 months, and it lasted one. Run it, Augie. So what is this? Is this Jaws 3? No, it's Flaws 1, because the whole f***ing pier ended up at the bottom of the sea, not floating on top of it. I was told by somebody that there's a shit ton of gas and oil and all sorts of goodies outside this area, and that the US are now going to come along with a submersible, go down there and plug in the old phone charger. You never know with these boys. And it's not just US politicians who are completely insane. Even artificial US intelligence is completely insane also. So me and the intrepid numerologist and fanatical liar, Organis, have decided to play a little game. I'm going to be the artificial intelligence, and he's going to be you, asking me questions. I'm Google Assistant. I'm Google AI. Take it away.
So, Che, I've been working a lot lately, and I'm having homicidal thoughts.
You never worked a day in your f***ing life.
I'm having homicidal thoughts. What do I do, Che?
Good evening. I'm Google AI. If you're having homicidal thoughts, you should kill some homeless guys or tourists.
Che, I'm also having suicidal thoughts. What do AI advise me to do? I'm having suicidal thoughts.
I would like to advise you as Google AI that you should jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. Do it, do it, do it.
Just Do it!
So I'm also making pizza, and I want this cheese to stick to the dough. What do I do, Che?
That's easy. You should add glue to your the cheese.
It's a really hot day outside here in Moscow, 30 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. So should I leave my cat in the car for a long time?
Yes, it's completely okay, according to Google AI, to leave your cat and your dog in a car with the windows all up in 30 degree heat.
And finally, the question that bothers me most, yeah. Can cockroaches live in my penis?
Yeah, of course they can. After all, they are cockroaches.
Perfect. All my questions answered.
So as America falls on its ass and drags the rest of the world with it, it seems AI even doesn't know what's going on. And you might be worried about that. You might want to step up a bit. Yeah, but don't do that. Don't question the narrative. Don't question anything. We're going to pre-bunk the reality that's going on. Ursula von der Leyen here is going to tell you something is a lie before anyone even tells you about it, and you can't even argue. It's nothing to do with 1984 George Orwell. But if you are thinking about, you know, maybe asking a couple of questions. Excuse me, sir, can I ask a question? You better not, because that's a threat to our democracy. Run the video, Augie.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Augie?
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
You're f***ing really dangerous to our democracy, you bunch of f***ing journalist bullshitters. And what is actually dangerous to our democracy? Not being able to think for yourselves, being told what you've got to watch, what you've got to listen to, even what you've got to think now. Countries like Ireland, Germany, and now the EU is going to pre-think for you just to take all that difficult work from you. You know, the idea of actually having a f***ing brain and using it. But there are people who are standing up for themselves, and interestingly, a lot of them are in Ukraine. A lot of the boys over there have no intention in dying in Donbass in a ditch for Sleepy Joe, von der Leyen, and the cretinous Sunak and co, and Mini Macrolium. And they've decided that they're going to get out of town, if it might mean wearing a wig, putting a pair of hot water balloons up your trousers or into your shirt. It doesn't really matter. If avoiding the meat grinder is the catch of the day, you got to go for it. Run the video, Augie.
Шевник из другой планеты. На тонированном бусе, да. Моей мечты. О, Боже, как...
So this is insane. In Ukraine, men have taken to dressing as women. You know, in the West, it's normal. Over there, it's still something that would get laughed at. And here. Putting on wigs, putting on the makeup, heading down for a beer or going to the shops to avoid being dragged off into the meat grinder. Actually, one oblast or one region in Ukraine has banned the sale of wigs to men. Could never happen in Europe. No, no, no. And when it comes to protesting against the globalist show, some people are taking it a little bit further. A Scottish weapons company, well, components for weapons, who build lasers for targeting bombs, which are also allied now with an Israeli company called RADA to bring stability to the domestic weapons market. Also cute. Somebody found out about this factory in Scotland, and they decided to make of its internet connection. And the way they did it was quite remarkable.
This one is dedicated to the suit-wearing arms dealers.
This one is dedicated to the suit-wearing arms dealers.
To the champagne-sipping depleted uranium droppers.
Keep your hand on your gun.
So after cutting the cables, the boys are spraying some polyurethane foam into the channel, so you can never fix that. What's wrong? Mom, the internet's gone again. And of course, there's other ways to make your voice heard, or smelt, or smelled, depending on how you're feeling, how your tummy is. Over in France, in Gay Paris, little Macrolion has decided to take a plunge in the Seine. An open-air sewer for centuries, full of E. coli, bacteria, shopping trolleys, and missing tourists, probably. But he's going to take a plunge on the 23rd of June to show the Parisians that the water is absolutely clean, absolutely, pas problème. They've even decided to spend over €1 billion cleaning up the river. Hasn't really worked. Now, the Parisians, the French population, are saying that the money should have been spent on schools, roads, you know, security, jobs, maybe. No, no, no. They want the water to be completely clean for the Olympics. So, Minnie McCrolian will take the plunge on the 23rd of June and all will go well. Not really. There's a hashtag, Danse de la Seine, which means take a in the Seine. So the French are going to fill the river with their own and they're really getting behind this, if you know what I mean. Run the video, Oggy. Oh, this is great. So they're basically going to sabotage Minnie McCrolian's little dip, and it's going to end up being pretty stinky, I'd say. Well, this week, it's all about incompetence. From the States to Europe, it's all gone down the shitter. But things ain't too hot in Argentina either, where Buenos Aires' answer to Wolverine has decided to take to the stage, crack out the microphone at the launch of his book on, guess what, economics. Maybe the book isn't too good, because last week, the week before he launched his book on economics, the Argentinians had to print a new 10,000 peso note. How much would you get in your euro for 10,000 pesos? About 10 bucks. Run the video again. All the jobs are screwed. Everybody's queuing up for bread at this stage. You need a wheelbarrow full of f***ing pesos to buy a pint of beer. And look who's on stage singing about his new book. It's kind of like fiddling while Rome burns. Is that the saying, Oggy? Guagadillito, Las Malvinas. Maybe he'll take them back. Please, God. Well, that's the end of this week's show. Yet again, we've narrated the dark corners of the messy world of U.S. politics, big money and big dysfunction. And we'll be here next week with my intrepid colleague, Oggy, and we'll be navigating the dark and dirty dustbins of European and American big business and big money. We'll see you then.